T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Number 3, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. It is a Patriots Monday down here at Gillette Stadium. Rob Ninkovich has joined us for the next hour, as he does every Patriots Monday. We're also joined now by New England Patriots defensive star Trey Flowers. Our interview with Trey brought to you by Verizon Wireless and Mass General Hospital Cancer Center. Every day amazing. Trey, I'll start with you. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How's it going?
Great.
Good.
I was just joking with James White a few minutes ago. I said, you know, we're going to talk to you guys here today, and I figured one was going to be in a real good mood. The other one might not be in such a good mood. Or is a win, or is a win, is a win, and that's all that matters.
Oh, yeah. You know, a win is a win, you know, however you get it. But, you know, you don't want to put up 40 points, but, you know, as long as we got more points than they did, I mean, it's a team game. So, you know, the offense looked out.
What was the difference between the first half and second half? First half, you guys were forcing them to kick a lot of field goals, kept the scoring down. Yeah. Second half, they seemed to have a lot more openings.
Yeah, just the explosive plays. You know, we let the quarterback out the pocket a little bit, and, you know, he was able to, you know, get it to the fast guys downfield. And, you know, Tyreek Hill, and, you know, he's pretty fast. He's hard to keep up with. Yeah. So, you know, anytime you give the quarterback time enough to get it to him, and, you know, he's able to get open. And just those explosive plays, I think, you know, just we was containing them for the most part, but, you know, maybe 5 explosive plays in the second half is pretty much what got him back in the game. So,
is there any quarterback in the NFL better at throwing on the run than Patrick Mahomes seems to be?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a great quarterback. He's able to – you know, he don't have to set his feet most of the times. He just
and he gets a lot on it.
Yeah. So he's definitely got a strong arm and able to get it out there. So, you know, some guys, you know, have to set their feet to able to, you know, put a you know, get the strength in the throw. But, you know, he got a strong arm and he's able to, you know, throw it down there without, you know, on the run, like you said, getting tackled or running away from the pressure and things like that. So, you know, he's pretty unique.
And, Rob, you could probably speak to this too, but everybody makes such a big deal out of the run-pass option, right? And so with Kansas City, for you specifically, like both of your positions, what's your main responsibility there? Because it seems like a lot can kind of go wrong.
It's quarterback first. Yeah. You got to make sure your quarterback doesn't get outside of you, because, you know, with the run-pass option, he's reading basically the end of the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. So if you just collapse down too quickly, he'll just pull it and run around the corner. But he's also looking at the coverage. So when those linebackers suck up and they try to get into the line of scrimmage to stop the run, that's when he pulls it and throws it in behind you. So you saw a bunch of those plays where, you know, it's a run-pass option, but when the linebackers come up to try and get into the run play, then he just pulls it out and dinks it right over the top. So a couple of those passes were a little bit off, because I think Mahomes, early in the game, I thought he was going to be a little bit nervous. It was a big game for him. He's 23 years old, really.
He looks kind of
in the beginning, first 5 throws, and you see guys throwing a little bit high or, like, overthrowing. Yeah. That means they're just putting a little bit too much on it. And, you know, they ran in the first game last year, they run those wheel routes, and instead of going outside the hash, they just hit the hash and go vertical. So they stacked the linebacker, which on the first overthrow, you know, high at the time, it's probably like, yes, he overthrew it.
Right.
Perfect. But that would have been a score. So, you know, I think that he settled down a little bit, and then he was making some great throws. And, you know, you got a guy like Hill, GTFB.
Yeah. You know, even when you are back, get the 75 yarder back.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, he's got the speed to break angles. And, you know, a guy like myself, I was never a fast guy. So when I would see a guy running, I'd be like, all right, I need to go to the pylon. And I would just start running.
So there.
Take the deepest angle, man.
Just get on my angle. And then, when I saw last night, I mean, Dev was on an angle and he just was gone. So, I mean, the dude's fast. So,
And what about Mahomes? Is he a guy, too, that you think you have him and you don't? Because it seems like pretty elusive. I mean, you guys put pressure on him, but no sacks yet last night.
Yeah, you know, he was a guy that, you know, had to – he escaped through the back of the pocket. Yeah, so he was – you know, he'll backpedal. He'll, you know, retreat from the rush. You know, you coming at him, but he retreating from the rush and, you know, able to throw it. And still, you know, 10 yards behind the ball, he'd still be able to throw it. So, you know, he's one of the guys that just was smart, you know, smart enough to, you know, understand that, you know, we coming in his face, you know, get to the back of the pocket and, you know, trust his arm strength.
And most guys can't do that. Most guys, when they run out of the back of the pocket, as a DN, you're happy about it.
Yeah.
Because when they go back in the pocket, that's just making your angle easy. You're just running a straight line.
Yeah.
Like Tom, when he steps up in the pocket, you're just like trying to turn the corner and he steps up and you can't get to him. So he'll learn a little bit, but I, you know, again, it was a great game. I knew it was going to be a high scoring game. But in the early in the game, in the red zone, the Pats, you know, we always have the bend but don't break mentality of, okay, they might be able to drive the field, but hold them to three and then our offense is going to score. So you kind of saw that there. They were able to only get 9 points out of three drives. And then before the end of the half, throw an interception. I mean, that's huge. So, you know, it was a good team victory, and they'll see this team again down the road.
You get that sense too?
They're gonna be in a position where, you know, if we take care of business,
I could say this because I don't play anymore,
right.
You know, Kansas City, the Patriots have a better defense than Kansas City. Kansas City defenses, I mean, our offense, the Patriots offense, obviously was clicking firing on all cylinders, but you know that when you run in for 8 yards a run, like they look like they're struggling out there. So, you know, for me, good team victory back and forth, but it was fun to watch. It's entertaining. It's one of those games that's entertaining, you know.
Do you guys feel on the defense, Kansas City scores on the 75-yarder to go ahead, but there's 3 minutes up on that clock. Yeah. Are you thinking, like I'm thinking watching at home, okay, Tom's got this. You're all set.
Yeah, I mean, we trust the offense. The offense was, you know, like you said, clicking on all cylinders yesterday. So, you know, we obviously didn't want to give up, you know, the big play and wanted to hold them. But, you know, it was just a next play mentality. You know, offense went out there. They did their job. And, you know, it was just one of those deals where, you know, we had to. The offense had to stall us out this game, so, you know, it's a team game. So.
Now, you had it was on one of the turnovers where you absolutely destroyed Eric Fisher. Yeah. You lined up Fisher, so now you turn into, from a defensive player into a lead blocker. Is that one of the great kind of moments that you guys can have as a defensive player?
Yeah, I mean, you know, anytime you can, you know, just kind of peel back on somebody that's not looking.
Yeah, they'll peel back on you.
Yeah,
right, you're used to that happening to you all the time.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, so.
Them guards are trying to kill you when you're trying to rush.
Yeah, so.
Because they threw a flag on you. They picked it
up. They asked me, did I hit him legally? And, you know, I knew I hit him, you know, kind of in the chest area. I didn't hit him in the head.
They asked you?
You're like, yeah, I did. They're like, okay, we're picking it up then. Forget it.
Yeah, they said they had to look at it. So, you know, I was. Like, yeah, I'm good, I'm clean. So they said, yeah, they're looking at it. Yes, yeah, so.
I don't know if Eric Fisher remembers it, but it was definitely clean.
Yeah,
that, it's kind of the and once in a while you'd get one of those too as well, where you get to turn the tables a little bit.
I would always miss mine.
You're so ramped up.
I was always like, I'd turn around and I'd see somebody and I'd miss them.
No,
I tried.
I was kind of glad Hightower came to this side because I was, I turned around looking. I thought he was gonna go the other way, but once they start peeling this way, I said, I got me one. Yeah,
I thought that might be the best game I've seen Dante Hightower play here.
Oh yeah, he's coming along, you know, coming along this season and make some great plays for us. So, yeah, he's always been a great player to me. So, you know, he's doing good. Yeah.
And so does today. You start to look at what the Bears' offense is all about.
We'll you know, go in and watch this film a little bit, and you know, just kind of. Start off, you know, introducing the Bears as far as personnel and things like that. So,
is there parts of this video today you just do not watch?
Nah, I think you got to watch it all, you know, just kind of to see, you know, how I guess to tell the two halves, you could basically say just, you know, how we controlled them and things in the first half, and then, you know, the things we probably, you know, did wrong in the second half or some miscues and things like that. So, you know, you got to watch, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, and, you know, you just got to improve and, you know, continue on to next week.
Now, does part of you say, as a defense, that's as good of an offense as you're going to face? Like, not to make excuses for yourself, but I mean, that's a full, complete offense that scores a lot of points against a lot of teams.
Yeah, yeah. We understand, you know, what we was facing up against, and, you know, we knew that they had some great players that's going to make some great plays, and, you know, you just kind of got to you know, go on to the next play, go on to the next drive, and understand that, you know, it's the NFL, so you can't just, you know, think you're just going to dominate everybody. You know, you want to, but, you know, obviously, you know, they got a job as well, so you just kind of tip your hat to them and, you know, glad we got the win, so, yeah.
We'll let you get down the hall. I know you got meetings to get to and all that. Thank you.
Yes,
good to
sir.
See you again, Trey.
Thank you.
Trey Flowers joining us here. Rob Ninkovich continuing on with us as we continue to talk about the game. And I know we were talking about the tale of two halves. As you're watching the first half, are you thinking, this is going about as well as it can go from a defensive perspective from the Patriots?
Yeah, you know, I think early in the game, like I said before, Kansas City looked a little, I would say Mahomes looked a little antsy, rattled, you know, not comfortable. Then he settled down a little bit. You know, whenever you start the game with an interception, I mean, that's not really ideal. And then, you know, missing some throws. So, you know, again, I think that the defense did a great job holding them in the red zone. They weren't able to score, so they're holding them to field goals. You know, if they score there, then this game's completely different.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, that's a good offense. That's a powerful offense. They do a lot of good things. And, you know, I think they won two phases of that game, and that's offense and special teams. And then defensively, they just were terrible.
Oh, so speaking of special teams, I mean, we can get to, you know, bigger issues too, but the whole idea of like the squib kick or the pooch kick or just not blasting touchbacks, where do you stand on that?
I would blast the touchbacks.
Yeah,
but,
so would I.
You know, again, I think that with the new rule in place last year, there was some success with the sky kick. You know, Steven obviously can put the ball anywhere he wants. The difference now is they don't have the running start. So when you're just standing there and you have to start from a complete standstill, you're at a disadvantage as a kickoff team when you're stopping, when you're not rolling on, you know. So again, I think now they're trying to tweak with that. And then after they had the run back, they were like,
"We're done with
just
that.
Kick
yeah.
it out of the end zone." But you know, again, that's not an ideal situation to just kick it off and they bring it back to the one, and you're thinking like, "All right, we're gonna get them inside the 20," and last year, they had some success with that. They had a lot of success with that. A lot of teams were just kicking the touchback and getting the ball in the 25, and the Pats were really seeing it as, okay, this is an advantage for us. That's 5 to 7 yards of, you know, extra field or extra yardage they have to gain, you know, instead of just giving them the 25-yard line.
You got into a little bit of a spat last week.
It wasn't really a spat because he wasn't involved. If it was a, if he was on
spat.
The yeah, if he was on the other side, then it would have been a spat.
For people
but
who don't know, you
I was on
voiced,
an interview.
You voiced some comments about Travis Kelce.
I was on an interview, and this was from a San Diego radio show. A friend of mine, Nick Hardwick, has a show, San Diego, asked me to come on, and he asked me who's a better tight end, Gronkowski or Kelce, and I stated Gronk is a tight end. He's a true tight end. He blocks. I mean, you saw in the game yesterday, he's in there blocking on a lot of those running plays, and then he gets, you know, sprinkled in there in the passing plays, makes the huge catch at the end. He's the best tight end. He's big, he's strong, he's fast. Kelce, I thought, what I said was, he's not a complete tight end. He's more of a receiver. He's split out from the formation.
Like
he's not
Jimmy Graham? Like
yeah,
he
he's, he, he's plus, I mean, I think it's 70% of the time he's away from the line of scrimmage. He's like a slot.
Right.
He's like a slot. So I said that he couldn't block, and, you know, he really doesn't like to block. When we played him in the past,
yeah,
I would watch tape on him, and he would attempt, but really the effort was
not his thing.
He'd rather catch the ball, and I understand that's where you make your money.
Right.
They'd rather catch the ball. If you asked, you know, anybody who's a tight end, like, hey, would you rather block or catch the ball? They'd rather catch the ball.
Rob would rather catch the ball.
That's how you make your money.
Even Dwayne Allen?
Dwayne Allen,
what about
he's
Dwayne
got
Allen?
A block. Okay,
all right.
But he's a good guy. He just, you know, his forte is the blocking type of tight end. But, you know, and when we played against him, I was against him. So when I went against him, I say, yeah, I mean, I was able to
Yeah,
be able to handle
blocker.
Him.
Yeah, you could.
I can, you know, I got clips of me handling Rob too. I don't want to, you know, I'm
yeah,
not tooting my horn.
Why don't you tweet
my phone? You yeah, no, I'm kidding. Rob's a freak. So me and him have had plenty of battles. Me and Rob in practice, we had our, you know, at the end we'd wink at each other and say, okay, let's go half speed on this. So we don't, you know, get headaches. But Rob is the complete tight end. He's a beast. And
but that has become a
yo,
bit of a.
I'm a beast. That's Rob Gronkowski.
The last couple of weeks, that's sort of become a debate.
Why is it a debate?
Rob.
Just
Why?
Because the last couple of weeks he didn't have such a great.
No, I mean.
So productive that he was in the past. But if you look at the career length and the career numbers, obviously.
I mean, Booger McFarlane on Monday Night Football a few weeks ago, they were doing a Chiefs game. He just said, matter of fact, wasn't comparing the two. He just said, Kelce is the best tight end. So obviously I got a lot of pushback, and then we've been asking, you know, we asked Michael Irvin, we've asked, you know, other William McGinnis, we've asked other guests, and most of them say Gronk, and then they, especially when they get into the full discussion of everything that you want a tight end to do, Gronk's better at. But Kelce's stats over the last 3 years, I think, are better, right? Isn't that what they like? Like if you're just looking at yards, I think they're better, but it's still pretty close.
It's close,
he's
but the last three
too.
Years. Yeah, he hasn't.
He's
had
on the field more.
His first
yeah, yeah.
few years, he didn't really get on the field as much.
No,
he wasn't
a
big time player.
He had
a slow
start. Yeah, yeah. But
slow
since
start,
then, he's been healthy.
Yeah, he's had a few dings though. He's been KO'd a bunch.
If you were in the defensive game plan for last night, what would you have been trying to do with Mahomes that they were doing in the first half and didn't look like they were doing as well in the second half?
I mean, when he's in the pocket. You want to keep him in the pocket. It's not easy to keep a guy like that in the pocket, but when you can restrict the space that he has in the pocket, instead of looking downfield, you start to see the guys in front of you. So that automatically puts you at a disadvantage. And one of the plays where he tried to run out of the back of the end zone, they were blitzed on it, and they had two guys free coming at him. He ran out of the back of the pocket, and he tried to throw it, and he short-armed it. He couldn't step into the throw. You know, so that's the main thing is if you have a quarterback that's not stepping into his throws, the ball's going to be a little bit short. It's going to be underthrown. So, you know, when he's out of the pocket, we saw his ability to run left and right and still make a lot of throws down the field
and get a lot
on a laser beam, you know, tractor beam.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, it would be a constrict the pocket game. It would be get, you know, make him uncomfortable from throwing in the pocket and let him beat you from in the pocket. He's going to make the throws. We all know he's going to make throws, but if he's out of the pocket, then that just puts more stress on your DBs, everybody in the back end, because the second he moves, they have to plaster. And plaster means, like, just like when you're plastering a wall, you got to get on somebody and you got to get on them tight. And if they try to, you know, once it's out of the pocket, it's free-for-all. It's, okay, guys are trying to – they run the route, and then they see he's out of the pocket. All right, guess what? I'm improving. I'm going left. I'm going right. I'm stopping. I'm going deep. So, you know, they tell one guy, just run deep. Then they tell one guy, come back to the ball. Then they tell another guy, go to the pylon. You know, so it's like all the – it's just harder to cover that. So keep him in the pocket. And he's a good player. I mean, we knew that he was a good player. And
do you think it's too – is it too early to say he's going to be, you know, a top five quarterback for the next 10 years?
Yeah,
or do you think it is?
Yeah, it's too early. I mean, he's a good quarterback. But
yeah.
There's a lot of quarterbacks that have a lot of success early and then –
right.
You know, he's got a lot of weapons. So
does, yeah.
Imagine if he was trying to work with not so many weapons. And,
it's a good
offense. I think the difference between, you know, the best
yeah.
guys and the best quarterbacks is they can get a bunch of different people in and they work with what they have and they're still successful. You know, he's got a tremendous amount of weapons. Backfield,
right.
Hill, Kelce, you know, like those are a lot of different guys you can spread the ball out to that are getting open. And, you know, the swing passes, the more impressive thing for me is like those swing passes where the guy's motioning behind and just running to the flat. It's not an easy throw to make, like, right?
He
perfect,
makes it look
yeah,
easy.
Make,
yeah,
perfect throws yeah. on the run, and they catch it and run. Like, those are hard throws to make. So,
right.
You know, I think that you got to tip your hat to him on a lot of those plays.
The old cliche is, you know, those other guys are on scholarship too. And yet, while they're professional football players and they're defensive, you know, players in the NFL, why are they so bad at tackling?
You know, I think a lot of that has to go.
Do they just not have enough talent?
No,
it goes to the
practice schedules now and training camp and, you know, not wanting to beat the guys up and hit a lot. But then it's a negative effect in your tackling because you can't actually work on hitting people full speed. So when you get out there and you're going full speed, things are coming at you a little bit faster. You're not used to seeing that. So, You know, and then they have a lot of guys that are injured. You know, their safety's gone. You know, he's been hurt since last year when they actually played here and tore his Achilles. So he's coming back from an injury, and then they didn't have one of their pass rushers, Houston. So you lose a couple key pieces there, and that's tough. You know, I think we saw when Chung and Trey weren't out there, that hurts you, and you lose a couple guys. So they got a few guys that are out, and the Patriots are good. So you play a good team with you're shorthanded on personnel, that just it's not good.
You think those are the two best teams in the AFC, or is there somebody else that you got ahead of either one of them?
I think the Ravens are pretty good.
Yeah.
I think when I watch them, they have that, like, tough team. Like,
right.
You play them and you're going to be sore. You're going to, like, they have that old mentality.
They're the opposite of the Chiefs.
They're the opposite of the Chiefs.
They're very different.
They're very different teams, but they had 11 sacks. 11 sacks. So, like, a lot of people are getting to the quarterback. And
yeah, everybody's getting to the
quarterback. Everybody's getting to the quarterback. 11 sacks. I think that's a franchise record. And, you know, they're playing well. So, Flacco, they drafted a guy in the first round. What's he do? He kind of probably took it as a little insult, and now he's playing really good football, and then they're using that guy as an extra piece. So,
right.
You know, again, I think that the Ravens, they're coached well, and they have good personnel, and their defense is strong. So, you know, that's a team, too, that I think they'll be in there. In the end, they'll be there.
We have somebody on the line who was with you at the game last night.
Okay.
Lenny?
Oh, Lenny!
I got to tell you, I was driving. I'm listening. I find Ninkovich fascinating because I'm watching a game with him last night, and I turned to him. I said, "Hey, what do you think of this kid?" He goes, "He's very, very good. I think he's a little over his head in this game, and this was in the first period when he threw the interception and a couple of overthrows. But he'll settle down, and it's going to be a close game." And he was like Nostradamus. Everything he said was true, and he does it all without being biased. You know, being a former Patriot, great. He does it all in an unbiased approach. I think he's going to be fabulous on TV.
Oh, thank you, Lenny. I really appreciate
that. What about
the
radio?
I think you're fabulous.
Radio? He's got it on the radio, too. But I think Nick said, "Have you seen him? He looks great. My God, he could be a model, this guy."
I always see him in jeans and a sweatshirt, to be honest with you, Lenny.
Yeah, I'm in a Carhartt shirt and a hoodie right now. It's a little chilly out, you know?
He's got that beard, which is perfectly cut. I wish I could. If I could go
up
there like that, I'd be robbing banks.
Lenny, good to talk to you. I know we were together last week at Rick Middleton's event. It was nice to see you then, too.
Dale, always great to see you, but I'm glad I got out of there early. What time did you leave?
After you, but before some others did. It was a long night.
That was a long, long night, but it was well worth it. Well, listen, keep up the good work, you guys. Nice listening to you. And Keith. We have the same barber.
I know we do. I know we do. We're going to bump into each other one of these days.
All right, pal. You're doing a great job.
See you, Lenny.
See you, Lenny. See ya.
Lenny is not only is he one of the funniest people I know, he might do more for charity than anybody on the planet.
He does a lot, yeah. He's you know, he's a great guy. He's funny, and you know,
does
a lot of different
things.
Does he
make jokes while you're sitting there watching the game?
He told me one yesterday, but I'm not going to say
no,
it.
No, maybe not. He said a few when I was here at an event with him last week, but we're not probably going to use those.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, one was about a... No, nah, I won't even say it.
No, probably not.
We'll keep it going.
It's Middays with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
On that play when you had him in the grass, the ball was already gone?
Yeah, I thought the ball was gone.
Did you have any fear because of the new rules about...
Yeah, because I thought the ball was gone, I ain't taking him to the ground.
How frustrating is that for you then to see
it
him?
Sucks. It sucks, yeah. Supposed to finish plays like that.
How's the balance for a player in that position? Are you going to look at it now and say, I got off?
You got to. It's just the risk we got to take now. Whether we get the flag or not, whatever happens, you just got to go ahead and push through with it and go ahead and make that play.
Rob Ninkovich is in the house with us. Rob is brought to you by Dr. Robert Leonard and Dr. Matthew Lopresti, the hair doctors of Rob Ninkovich, at 1-800-GET-HAIR. Rob and I were just talking about that very play during the commercial break. He said he thought Tom had let go of the ball and he didn't want to take him down and take a penalty. You buying that?
Yeah, it makes sense to me. In that situation, sometimes he's coming from behind. You really can't see much. And the quarterback, Tom, was kind of in like a pump motion, like he was going to do something with the ball, and then he brought it back down. When he was getting hit, he brought it back down, and then he was able to just kind of walk through that. And it's because he let him go. He thought he threw the ball. And at first I thought maybe he was just really gassed, tired. Like, that defense had been out there a long time.
I've been in
a situation where you're on the field, 100 snaps, and you're dog tired. And you do things, and you can't even explain what happened because you're like, I don't know what happened. I was just really exhausted. I don't know what I did. What'd I do? And people are like, yeah, you messed up. So it's like, I've been in a situation where I've missed plenty of sacks, and I haven't missed a sack for a touchdown like that. But, I think that as a defensive end, a defensive player, you're more conscious of okay, I can't get a penalty right now. It's a first
down. Was there many times that you sacked a quarterback and you were like, I assume he has the ball, but he may not? Or did you always know that he had the ball?
Yeah, no. I've had quarterbacks put the ball in their left hand and throw it and for an incomplete pass. And I was like, that's BS. I was taking you down.
You can't do that.
Yeah. So it happens. And, it gets frustrating as a defensive end because you work really hard to get there. And when you're there, you want to make them all count. So, and quarterbacks, I think I had a sack against Brett Favre, and he just threw it away for an intentional grounding. It doesn't count as a sack. You're like, oh, that stinks.
It's garbage.
It's garbage.
That really is.
So, again, it's one of those situations. Those guys, they're fighting through these monstrous men to get to a quarterback, and when you get there, it's tough, and you want to just get them down to the ground.
And but then you can't they land score. On them. You can't land on them. You can't do that. You can't hit them below.
I would
the
just
knee.
Bring
them.
I would just tackle them and just bring them on top of me, land on me, just bring down on me.
Also, if you were playing now, you were already playing when they, you can't hit him in the head, obviously.
Yeah, I had a flag once. I had a 15-yarder for the Buffalo. I think it was Fitzpatrick faked. He got an Academy Award. I didn't even hit him. I just pushed him at the end of a screen.
And he flopped.
And he flopped, and they threw a flag on me.
Did you yell at him?
That made me mad.
And
I was
he was
like
wearing his wedding ring at
15
the time,
grand. They fined me for it. So every flag is if it's a personal foul, roughing the quarterback, it's a money. So you're getting fined.
Ugh.
So a lot of these hits that
you don't even want to go near the quarterback.
You don't want to.
It's either a penalty or a fine. Or
I mean, $25,000 is a lot of money.
No kidding.
So or 15, whatever they're fining them now. Mine.
So
was
would
15.
You have to do it differently? You think if you were playing now, would that be in your mind? As a pass rusher, you should just be thinking about the quarterback.
I mean, if you look at the one sack that I had in the Super Bowl on Russell Wilson, when I was going down to the ground, because I've had quarterbacks, they duck, and when they duck, they see you coming, and they just duck their head straight down.
And you hit their head.
And you hit their head with your hand or anything.
Penalty.
And it's a penalty. I had a flag playing the Eagles. Mm. The quarterback ducked his head, and my hand, I was just going to wrap him up. He ducked his head down into my hand.
Yeah,
flag.
That's ridiculous.
So that was, and then I got fined for that too, $8,000. And that's just me.
You
trying.
Know the amount of every fine, don't
oh,
you?
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't you? Are you kidding me?
So, again, I think it's one of those things that you're just trying to get to the quarterback and they're avoiding you.
Right.
So some things are inadvertent. And in this, I was saying, in the Super Bowl, Russell Wilson ducked down to, duck underneath, because sometimes they can duck down and, get underneath you and stand back up. You've seen Tom
right.
do
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
They duck and stand
and,
back
yeah,
up
yeah.
and you fly over the top of them.
Right.
So when I was on top of him, I put my hands up like this, both hands
surrender.
Open,
yeah.
Surrender. I surrender.
Yeah.
I'm not hitting him. I'm not trying to hurt him or hit him in the head or anything, because I just wanted to get the ball back.
Trey told us when he was in here earlier in the hour that on the interception, and he made the block, and they threw the flag, and the official said, "Did you do anything to him?" Has any official ever asked you
no.
if you've ever done anything?
They've never asked me that.
So Rob would have said, "No, sir, I did not do
that's because Trey's nice and he's honest.
They're trying to get those blocks out of it, which I understand. They're trying to get those blocks, but that's football.
It is.
How do you take that out of that?
I know.
That is your opportunity, and as a defender, I've been depleted, and I've been the guard. So if it's a 3-man rush, and I'm just bull rushing a tackle, the guard can just peel back and just knock the snot out of me, and they both land on me. Or, this is another funny thing, if you're a defender and you fall, an offensive lineman can just dive on you.
Throw an elbow
and they land on you, and they're 320 pounds, and they're diving on you with their arms and elbows, and they, Sebastian Vollmer used to put these, casts. He put casts on both his hands, and then he'd tape them on. So when he would punch you, what do you think that was? And he'd punch you in the face. So he'd rip your head off because he could bench.
Well, the league doesn't care about defensive linemen.
No, they don't care about
us. They don't care
about quarterbacks, and that's the moneymaker.
Correct.
But
On the run pass option that Kansas City likes to run, would you be the key guy, you and the other defensive end? Is everything based off the defensive ends, the ends of the line?
I mean, it's a total picture. So when they're doing the RPO, they're seeing where the linebackers' levels are. If the linebackers are still deep, then they can't throw. Like Hightower's interception, he was up into the line of scrimmage, and then he dropped right back. And Mahomes, instead of throwing it on a little bit of an arc, just threw a laser beam right. He was trying to go to Kelsey across the middle, and it was right to Hightower. So sometimes it can hurt you, obviously, and then sometimes it's good because those linebackers, they suck up into the line of scrimmage, and that's the space in between the linebackers and your secondary. That's what you want with the RPO. So they're reading the end of the line guy, and then they're reading the secondary too. Where are they at? And then if they pull it, then they have the opportunity to throw it.
Do you think this defense, we've seen six games now, do you think that the defense is good enough to get back to a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think they are. I think that they can do the things in the red zone that you need to have done as far as keeping them out of the end zone. And that's been the trend with the Patriots defense for as many years as I can think of. And every year I played here, it was, if I had a dollar for every time I said, we're going to bend, but we won't break. We'll get them down. If they're in the red zone, we'll hold them to 3 points. And I'm going to bet our offense is going to score more than your offense will score, and then we'll win.
True.
So, you know, the defense is, they're going to evolve. They're going to get better as the season progresses. You know, again, I think that the sack numbers and all that stuff, sometimes it can skew what people think of the defense. I think last night they were able to get some pressure on the quarterback, but they're going to need more down the stretch, because when you play good quarterbacks and good teams, when they play the Steelers and the Ravens, you know, if they see them in the playoffs, you're getting to Kansas City again in the playoffs, the more time that these quarterbacks have to observe and look at their weapons, their options, that's when they're going to hurt you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, getting to the quarterback. When last night I was observing what they would do, and in empty situations they would come with blitz, and then they're playing some cover two and cover five. So cover two is more of like a zone. The corners are on the outside so they can protect any flat route. And, you know, and that one crazy throw was cover three. So the throw that when
Tyreek Hill
ran across, he ran straight across the coverage, and they just hit him in a perfect window, and he was able to turn the Jets on and just smoke everybody.
Yeah, I was thinking about it as I was watching last night. Like, Devin McCourty is fast.
Devin's really fast.
On the kickoff return, mm-hmm. he catches that guy from behind on, like, the five, and I'm thinking, he's got Jets.
And the one, I think it was the one hunt play where he scored, I think it was Jason that was chasing him down. If he had 10 more yards, he would have got him.
Yeah.
So,
and yet, on the 75-yarder, it's like...
Okay. That's like a different...
I wonder if they're like the exact
speed.
Same speed because they're twins. Like, if they race, are they just the exact same speed?
Every time they tie.
I would imagine. Because if one wins, it's like you're the same genetic code. Like, what's going
Devin
on
Devin did admit to us last week that he's fairly certain Bill doesn't know one from the other.
Probably. I would assume that. Last night on his interview, I was laughing because I think he's had the same collared shirt for like 10 years.
It's his lucky shirt, I guess.
It's his lucky tee or his lucky collared shirt. Yeah. But his wardrobe is there's not much. There's not much in the closet there.
Keep
you know,
it simple.
He just rotates it.
He's got a lot of vineyard vine stuff.
He did get
a
new suit recently, though.
Yes,
nice
we
new
saw
suit.
That one.
Yeah,
in the preseason.
Suit. Yeah,
pretty sure.
Good. It was nice.
Yeah.
It looked a lot like yours.
I have that
coat.
Same jacket.
And it looked
yeah.
a lot like it, and you guys both rocked it perfectly.
About the same, yeah. Both a lot of success in both of them.
You think this is the team that you've got to beat in the AFC? When you get to it in January, is that the team that you're going to have to knock off?
The hardest thing for me is the downward trend of the Chiefs. So, if they lose next week, then you're like, eh. Like, they started fast, and then they're slowing down, just like last year.
Aren't they on Sunday Night Football again next week?
Yeah, they might be.
I think
so,
they are.
You know, I think last year you saw the same thing. The one thing I would say is last year, if the Kansas City Chiefs were down the way that they were down last night,
They'd have stayed down, yeah.
And I think Mahomes is the difference there.
Yeah, they got the Bengals on Sunday night. So that would be good.
They got the Bengals.
Yeah,
and they just lost, right? The Bengals lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just got beat by the Steelers.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, that'll be a good game. So, you'll see them again.
How important is it for the game to be here?
Very important.
Okay, because everybody says Kansas City maybe one of the best home field advantages,
It's a big advantage. Yeah. And I wouldn't even – I mean, I'd say this, our home field advantage here, it's not the noise that's the advantage because it doesn't get as loud as other stadiums. Like, other stadiums are deafening.
Yeah.
Kansas City Arrowhead Stadium is deafening. Like, you're on the field and you're like, I don't know what's going on.
You forgot everything.
I forgot. Yeah. What's that? So, yeah, that's a definite advantage. I think it's just the weather here and the wind and, you know, it always seems to be howling and, you know, and through the lighthouse tunnel there.
Yeah.
That wind kind of comes in there and, like, circles around the stadium. So going towards that corner, it's tough to kick field goals that way. You know, it's tough to throw that way. So, you know, that's the way that Manning couldn't throw anymore. It was throwing that way.
Right.
Doesn't it also seem, though, that a big part of that home field advantage late in the year playoffs has to do with that guy wearing the hood and the guy wearing number 12? They get boggled the minute they see them.
I mean, I think it's an intimidating place to come into. You see the banners. You see, Tom. You see Bill, and Bill's got the scowl, and he's looking scary over there. I think another thing, too, people don't realize that traveling sucks, too. Like, when you're traveling the day before and, you know, you're staying in the hotel, you're not sleeping in your own bed, it's different when you have to travel. You're not eating, like, you're eating hotel food. So it's a completely different thing when you have to go on the road. And I remember when we had to go play Denver for the AFC Championship in the year that they won when we lost. I hated playing in Denver. It's like you have to travel there. It's a long travel time. You get there, the stadium is super high. You're winded walking up the stairs.
You could have played that game at home, right? If Steven Jackson didn't.
Yeah, we probably would have won that. It was that blizzard. We had a blizzard here. We would have killed them.
You would have smoked them.
We would have killed them in the blizzard.
Instead, you threw the game against Miami.
Yeah.
Never understood that.
I don't either.
You see?
I was waiting to see if he was arguing with you. He wasn't.
We don't ask questions.
You can now, though. That's the beauty of it. You're out of the locker room. You can ask questions.
I mean,
and say, what the hell was that? Yeah. Why did you have to establish Steven Jackson and not throw a pass in the first half?
It's toughness, mental toughness.
I guess.
Last night, we were mentally tough. The Patriots were mentally tough. They ran the ball.
They did.
Which is, I mean,
Sony Michel
looks
pretty good last 3 weeks, by the way.
I like what I see. Yeah. You know, everyone was talking about him early in the season. He didn't play in the preseason. Please give him a break. He's a kid that didn't have a preseason game. He's coming back from a knee injury, and he looks good. So, you know, I like the way he runs. He runs hard. I'm sure he's got to be. If he's not sore today, jeez, I wish I could go back in time because he took a lot of tackles. I mean, hit the ground a lot. So, and this field's hard. If any field, this is the hardest field in the league.
Is it?
Oh, really?
Oh, it's so hard. It, like, hurts. They'd redo it every year, but they put monster trucks on it. What do you think the weight of cranes and dump trucks and 6 foot of soil?
Because remember we asked Belichick about it last year, and he told us to go find a field guy?
Yeah.
He's like, I don't really know anything about it. He has a field
guy.
He
wasn't going to talk about it.
I didn't, and I would say it's hard, but I like it. I enjoyed it being that hard. I mean, my body didn't, but when you're trying to cut and turn the corner, it's nice to have, like, a solid surface.
The next day is when you
It's the next day when you wake up and you're just looking at the ceiling of your room and you're like, oh, my gosh, what did I do to myself?
We return to Patriots Monday and Dale and Keith right now on WEEI.
I don't think this is an intimidating place at all. I think it's just the excitement of it being Sunday night against a great team. I think he got excited. I don't think it's intimidating for him at all. I think he rises to the moment when it's presented. And sure enough, I think he handled himself great.
That's your guy, Travis Kelce, talking about last night's game.
Wait, so he said, what did he say there? The place isn't intimidating, so that's fine. He's like, but it was the moment. It was Sunday night football.
So what's the playoffs going to be like? What's a night playoff game going to be
like?
But
he's like, he's not intimidated by anything, but it was Sunday night football, so that's what, like, that doesn't make any sense. In the second half, he was great. So, I mean, you could say that. He's kind of snapped out of it, and it was a lot better. But he had really just a couple of really dumb throws. And I think that's part of it. When your arm is that good, you probably assume you can make every single throw, but then you're going up against a real defense.
It's the Brett Favre,
right?
Like,
It's like, I can get it. I can throw it like, over
I could put it in
like,
that.
No, you can't. Yeah. Like, there's three guys over there.
That's going to get tipped.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that was the dagger right there at the half to, you know, to kind of, like, not have them score any points right there. Yeah. That's huge.
It
so, no, he's a good quarterback. I mean, he's a young kid. When I listen to him talk, I just, like, I'm looking at him like.
Well, he sounds like a
how
fraggle.
How old are you? He sounds like Amendola, you know, like kind of like he has like the Amendola type of.
I know he seems. What is he? 23? 23.
23.
He is, but yeah, he looks even younger than that.
He looks like a baby.
But I mean, he's off to a hell of a start.
All right, let's get to some calls. Rob Ninkovich is in the house with us here at Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday. 617-779-7937. Mike's in North Providence. Hey, Mike.
Hi, guys. Yeah, you know, you were talking earlier about how the offense is hitting on all cylinders, and yet I actually think this team has at least one more cylinder in it, because just take Gordon and Michelle. Gordon, definitely he and Tom still are not quite on the same page, and they had some miscommunications, particularly the one in the end zone. I think there was another seam route where you could see Tom wanted them to sit down, and he kept on running and then broke off into a post route. These sorts of things by season's end are not going to be happening. Like that touchdown, that incompletion in the end zone is going to be a touchdown. These are things, and also with Michelle, you can see he's still not on the same page with Tom when it comes to receiving, and also they're also just trying to figure out what are the best packages for him to be running out of. And I personally think that just single tight end, single running back is like ideal for him, and maybe they should just consider putting Cordarrelle Patterson in there as an extra blocker, as a big wide receiver in those situations.
I'll say this, Mike, I'm interested to get Rob's take on this. I got to be honest with you. I don't think Tom is as sharp as I've seen him in the past. I've seen him miss throws that I'm used to seeing him make. There was the one incompletion to Edelman where his feet were set to throw to Gronk in the end zone, and he just suddenly turned the upper body and threw it incomplete to Edelman out in the right flat. His body wasn't turned right. The pass looked
right.
Awful.
Yeah, Edelman had no chance.
No, and look, I don't think Tom is as sharp as I've seen him, or as sharp as I think he'll be as the season goes along.
I mean, as the season progresses, you start to get worn down a little bit, and, I mean, he's not 25, you know, so he's an older quarterback. He's 41. You know, it's going to happen. He's going to miss some throws. That's just, I mean, if you could say that Mahomes missed throws too. I mean, he missed those throws early in the game. Tom's going to miss throws. He's human. He's going to do that. You know, I think the thing that he still has is the ability to win football games with the pressure and everyone looking at him when the game's on the line. He goes down and he executes, and they had 3 minutes to drive the field. They were very calm. They just kind of took the ball, slowly moved it down the field, made the plays when they needed to make them, and then kicked the field goal to win the game with no time. So, I mean, I just think that down the stretch, even next week, they're not going to be able to run the ball like they did this week. I mean, the no. Bears front, they got Khalil Mack. You know, they have Khalil Mack, and in the interior, he played here. Oh, why am I having a brain fart right now?
Oh, Hicks.
Hicks. They have Akeem
yeah.
Hicks.
Yeah.
So Hicks is playing, like, at an insane level right now. I watched him play the Dolphins, and he's playing really well. If it wasn't 103 degrees, I think the Bears would have won that game. But I think their front is a lot better than what they just faced. So it's going to be a different type of game in Chicago than it was last night as far as the running game and how they're going to set things up. So that defense, you're not going to see a defense that bad. I think that's going to be their Achilles heel.
Oh my God!
Moving
yeah.
forward into the playoffs, because you have to play at a high level each week to score all those points. And, you know, if another team can continue to score on them, that gets exhausting. Like, those guys are his hamstrings are going to fall off with all that running and sprinting. So, you know, I just think in the playoffs, you're not going to see a team like that with that defense.
You think of the strip sack and fumble that Tom had last night.
That one I just kept screaming, throw it away,
yeah,
throw
just
it away,
get it,
throw
really,
it away.
And really he even odd. Said this morning when he was on the station, he said, look, that was just a mental mistake. I'm just not used to seeing him make mental mistakes. That's
I
all.
Just wanted to make a play. And
well, and the play before should have been picked off. Like, it was or yeah. almost was picked off. I don't know if should have, but it was a throw that was
it was close.
Little,
it was
right there.
It was close. But I just think if they see Kansas City again, that defense, they're going to have to get better. Or they're going to have to get some of their pieces back, hopefully.
Right.
Or not hopefully, but for their sake, hopefully that their defense would improve over the rest of the season. But, you know, I just think that if they saw, you know, if you put that offense with a better defense, like, geez,
oh, yeah, for sure.
They're the best team. But
now, I know you weren't wild about the Patriots signing or bringing in Josh Gordon. 3 games now he's been active. He played far and away more snaps last night than he did the first two. How do you think he's looked so far?
I think he's still adjusting. He's going to still have to learn a lot of the different ins and outs of the offense. It's not easy to come in and play that.
Right.
You know, I wasn't ever down on the person as far as like his playing ability. My thing is, okay, he's establishing himself here. He's going to be needed. So hopefully now that he's here, now he just needs to keep his head in
You said it was a bad message to the locker room, is what you said. Guys on the team.
When they signed him, I thought, yeah, it's not the best thing to say. Okay, well, yeah, you can make a lot of mistakes, and you know, you get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 chances if you're good, you know.
Yeah,
and if you're not great, you get one chance and yeah, you're gone.
Yeah,
I don't get that. I don't like that.
I know, but that's how it is, isn't it?
Not if I was running it.
Now, to be fair, he hasn't had 10 chances with the Patriots. Like, he's had a lot of chances.
He's got one
league,
chance.
He's got one here.
He's got
one
right?
here.
Yeah.
But if anything did happen, that would not be good.
It wouldn't be. Well, it also wouldn't be, like, shocking. Like, unfortunately.
No, but
like,
it would be unfortunate for the rest of the guys around him, right?
Yeah, because, but, I mean, they thought that he could make the team better. That's the only reason why Belichick brings in anybody, right?
True.
And so,
I mean, at the time, they really didn't have many options, and now they look like a completely different unit. So, you know, again, I think that it was good to see Hogan last night make some big plays. You know, that was one of the guys I thought that Gordon.
Yeah, it seems like Dorsett and even Patterson, who were getting a lot more offensive snaps prior to last night, it seems like those two might be the odd men out.
They're the odd man out. I mean, they're out. Yeah. So it's like you see what it was last night. It's pretty much moving forward. That's what it's going to be.
Pretty good group. Yeah.
And it looked like, I mean, Gordon, when he stretched out for that ball, man, did they hit the ground hard. I don't remember hitting the ground that hard ever in my life.
Well, they must have been going pretty quick.
Jeez.
Yeah, they kept showing the replay, and you're like, is that shoulder? Is it a concussion? Like, what is that? And he almost caught it, too. You're like, what? Then he was luckily he came back. But he was out for a while.
One of the things Michael Irvin talked to us about last week, about Josh Gordon, he talked about, you know, those slant patterns. Not everybody likes to go in there. And
nowadays you can go in there.
But even
10 years ago, he used to be like, no, I don't want to get decapitated.
Well, and Irvin would say when he'd run those slant patterns, he'd want to catch the ball into his body and get him.
He
get
played
self
in an
ready,
era
where
he where
you
get
killed.
Harrison would just murder.
But he's talking about
leading
how Josh...
think about Lynch. John Lynch could not play now.
No.
The only way he would tackle it, he hit.
Right.
If you watch a John Lynch, somebody out there, go watch a John Lynch highlight tape. It is disturbing.
They'd have to blur it now on TV.
Like,
if they were going to do it, they wouldn't even
know how he would tackle people.
Oh, yeah.
And he's functioning well, so maybe he's fine. You know,
he's
running a football team.
He's running a football team. He's great. You know,
he's
his head's
fine.
Good. His
Nothing
head's great.
Yeah,
he traded for Jimmy Garoppolo.
He's got no towel. There's no towel in there.
But one of the things, when Irvin talked about Gordon catching that ball, that slant, with his hands, and he did it again last night, where
zip. To Rob's point, like they might not get hit. Like, there's no John Lynch, Rodney Harrison, but defensive backs can still get a hand in and bat it out. Whereas if you reach your hands out and pluck it out like Josh Gordon does, you're gonna catch it more often than not. Hogan catches it with his body. A lot of guys catch it with their body. Patterson, like if you throw it to Patterson, even on those little screens, he's gonna like catch it like a kickoff.
He's got mitts on him. He's got some big old mitts.
Right, exactly.
But that's what you want. I mean, a receiver that can catch the ball like that, strong hands. I mean, that's an ideal. He's like, you look at him, you'd be like, wow,
the prototype.
That's a prototype.
Yeah, that's what you want.
Freak,
for a receiver.
Right?
Yeah.
You know. So, again, I'm happy that he's doing well, and I hope that he continues to stay, you know, straight and continues to work and improve and be a big contributor this year.
Before we let you go, I told Rich I was going to ask you about this. So it turns out you kind of undersold a little bit how much you were helping Julian Edelman. Because Julian was talking about you were doing more than you sort of indicated to us you were doing.
Yeah, I was out there every day. I felt good. I got to work out right now.
And you were hitting them, banging them around.
Yeah, I put the pads on, baby.
And he looks pretty good. Like you were saying, like he
yeah, he's
doesn't
fine.
Look like he missed a beat.
He's fine.
Because some guys, it takes they're like rusty anyway. Like, even if they're healthy.
Yeah, but he had training camp.
Right,
so
that's
like,
a big difference.
If he was hurt, say, week six, towards ACL,
yeah.
and then had no training camp and wasn't able to run routes and get the timing down, that's when you have some of the issues. Mm-hmm. He got hurt early, I think week three preseason last year. Had his surgery, had a full year.
Right.
Did his training camp, which is timing. You did OTAs, mini camp.
Right.
Did your preseason games. Like, so all your timing's there. You've already been hit. You know what to expect for that. And, you know, I mean, 4 weeks goes by in a blink. So we were out there running around.
Did it feel weird putting the pads back on?
Felt good.
Did it?
Yeah, it felt
did it get
good.
You thinking about?
Well, Julian, he made me angry once because, I mean, I'm out there and I'm hitting him, but I'm not hitting him like I'm hitting a tight end or a
right.
lineman. Like, he's a receiver. He's little. Like,
and you don't want to hurt him.
Yeah. No, like, we have video evidence of this.
Back.
I could throw him around. But, you know, he was – so what he does, and it really annoys me, is when you go to, like, put your hands on him, he chops your hands
Snaps
down.
Them, yeah.
He chops your hands down and then headbutts you.
Headbutts you?
Oh, yeah. So when he headbutted me, I don't have a – I mean, I didn't – I usually, whenever I played, I'd have a mouthpiece in because I
– Right, but not for this.
Not for that.
Yeah.
So he headbutted me, and I'm like, Jules, why are you headbutting me, bro? And he's like, that's what I do, bro. That's what I do. I chop their hands down, and I headbutt them, and I grab their shoulders, and then they're locked up.
Not here.
And I said, all right, well, this next one, try to do it again. And I freaking hit the crap out of him.
Good.
I hit him really good, and then I threw him to the side.
How was Hartzell as a quarterback?
He was good. I mean, he can make all the throws. But, I mean, again – when you're a quarterback, those guys, I don't think you ever lose that ability to throw. I mean, I bet you Bledsoe could
probably
put a hole
sure.
in my chest right now.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, like Dan Marino could still wing it. Like all those old quarterbacks, anybody that's thrown a football, played at a high level, D1, like they
and
could
now
still
they have
throw.
Old man strength.
Now they're older,
yeah.
and like they're throwing footballs to their kids in the backyard, just rifling at them, you know, like humming it.
That's true.
So, you know, he was great for what we needed, and, you know, doing the bout running was the worst part. So bout running is just running like a lot. Like, what was it? 3,000 yards, 6,000 yards. Like, just running and running and running.
Why'd you have to do it?
You got to, you know, keep them going.
No, that doesn't make sense.
And then
that
I would
make
take,
sense.
Then I would take off, like, tap them on the butt and say, all right, let's go. And then I'd, like, get off, and then, like, let him chase me. And then he'd catch up to me, obviously, because he's faster. And he's got more endurance because he's 200 pounds. But then I just chased him. It felt good. I got in shape for 4 weeks. I felt great.
Did it get you thinking maybe I got a little more in this?
I got
thing?
Headbutted once, and I was like,
ah, come on. What's
like,
up with that?
I'm like,
no, but you didn't have a mouthpiece.
I mean, I'm like an old boxer. You get jabbed, you're like, whoa.
Hey.
I've been hit a lot. Like, I've been hit a lot in the head.
It's good to see you again.
Thank
we'll talk
you.
To you next week after the Chicago game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.